Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
All right. Welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio, everyone. I see we've already got some guests logged on, and I want to just invite you to talk to each other. If you want to send some questions, we'll try and fit in as much as we can. It's going to be a pretty quick show, I think. A half hour sounds like a long time, but I don't think it's going to feel that way. And so today, we have I'm going to call her the queen of paranormal romance genre, because she has 14 novels that have hit number one on the New York Times list. That's quite an accomplishment. All of her series have hit the bestsellers list, and she has 58 novels to date. I think maybe even more now that Shadowrider has come out, and we have some other books that are coming out this year. In addition to being a successful and prolific writer, Christine Feehan, who is our guest, is a third-degree black belt and taught martial arts for over 20 years. I think that's pretty amazing. Might be a little bit of an overachiever there. Just going to put that out. I don't know. She lives in beautiful Northern California, where she spends time writing her novels and enjoying her family. Welcome, Christine. Great to have you.
It's good to be here. I'm glad everybody's joining us. I hope that we get some questions.
Now, just so that our listeners who are just tuning in, if you would like to go to Christine's website and check out all those amazing books and find out a little bit more about her, you can go to ChristineFeehan.com, and that's F-E-E-H-A-N, ChristineFeehan.com. And if you take a look at the description for this show, I have oodles of links in there. You can just click on one of those links, and it'll easily take you over to the website. So, Christine, I'm just going to launch into let's talk about Thriller Fest first, since I know you were just at that event, and I know it was your first time to attend. Can you tell us, did you enjoy it, and would you recommend it to others?
It wasn't my first time. I was in New York, and I was very nervous because a lot of the authors that I read and really enjoy and have for years were there. But they were very welcoming, and I really did enjoy it. Alison Brennan and Tess Gerritsen were there, and they are a couple of people that I've known on and off over the years and really enjoyed seeing them again. So I got a lot of good information, and I highly recommend it to anybody who wants to write suspense or thrillers, because all the authors there are very, very willing to lend a helping hand.
I do love that about Thriller Fest, how open people are to supporting one another. Now, tell me, what was your favorite part of Thriller Fest?
My favorite part of Thriller Fest, it was probably the panel that I was on with Alison Brennan. I felt like a lot of good questions were asked by aspiring writers or writers who are doing romantic suspense. And I felt like they really wanted to understand how to write a good suspense, and the entire panel was extremely helpful. So I like imparting knowledge to aspiring writers, and I felt like that was a really solid panel.
It was, and of course I was at that panel, and it was probably the best panel. All the panels were good, but it was really focused. I loved how very focused it was to the topic and talking about, romantic suspense, and is it still, popular today, which of course it is, and who's writing it, and how are they writing it, and how to get started. It was really focused, so I enjoyed that a great deal. We are at the end of the interview, we are going to hit you up for some tips for aspiring writers towards the end.
Excuse me, hold on one second, please.
Sounds like my house. So for those of you who don't know, Christine is an avid dog lover, and she does have several dogs there, and anybody who follows me knows that I have mine as well. So I was a little worried when we first started that you could hear some of my dogs. I put them in the other room so that they wouldn't be
barking. That's the problem with going live, doing a live radio interview.
Yeah.
You get interruptions, and my dog trainer was here for my dog.
But that's kind of the fun part because you feel like you're really there. So, yeah, we've been having storms, so my dogs have been barking at the thunder. So that was I was a little worried about that. But now you did a book signing at Word Bookstores in Jersey City along with author Karen Rose, who I also love. She's a great suspense thriller writer. What do you enjoy most about doing book signings?
Well, you know, I don't often get out. I write quite a lot and every single day. And when you go to a book signing, you actually get to meet readers and you get feedback, you know, from people who are enjoying the worlds that you're creating. And it feels very real to you, where when you're sitting at home and you're writing your book, it's sort of like reading a book and you're alone. Writing can be very isolating. So when you're at an actual bookstore and there are actual people there that are talking about your book with you, it actually energizes you as a writer.
Now, you've been doing some Facebook Live events, including the QA portion at Word. That seems to be something that your readers are really enjoying. Will you be doing more of the live Facebook events? You know, and how can people see them?
Well, I will do live events that I, you know, advertise ahead of time so people are aware that I'm going to do them. And so then that's pretty easy. I'll put it up on my community and on my Facebook page and, you know, Twitter. But when we just do them, you know, on the fly where we haven't advertised at all, that's just popping up on Facebook.
All right. So, and I noticed that you had a lot of people who tuned into the Facebook Live event for Word, which was just kind of impromptu. And just so that people know, once those live events are over, the video does remain. So you'd be surprised at how many people have, you know, the kind of the same interest and they're asking questions that that you might have asked yourself. So definitely you can watch those live events and find out more about what's going on. Now I'm going to kind of segue over because we have a lot of exciting stuff that's going on. Shadow Rider was just released and it hit number 3 on the New York Times, which is an amazing feat for being the very first book in a brand new series. Can you tell us a little bit about the new series?
Well, I worked 3 or 4 years on just pulling that, creating the world for Shadow Riders. And it's very contemporary. They appear to be a mafia family, a crime family, which they're not really. They have a territory. This particular family is in Chicago. And they're able to move from shadow to shadow without being seen. Their shadows throw out a tube, and then that person's tube connects with all other shadows, and then they can move and basically do whatever they want to do.
I thought it was interesting. I was looking online, just kind of getting a general idea, the feedback of the book. And I saw someone on Twitter who was talking about the book, and they were telling people that this is really romantic suspense. And of course, I've read the book, and there are paranormal elements. I know you love, you know, the paranormal world, being able to make those, you know, make those worlds seem real. But this seems like it's more toward the thriller side. Was that something that you planned, or is that just kind of the way that the book came about?
Well, the Drake sisters, all the Sea Haven novels could be considered romantic suspense or romantic thrillers. I write action. I like action. I like it in my movies, and I like it in my books. So I tend to write action, and I would say, you know, the Ghost Walkers could be considered thrillers, all the Sea Haven novels. I would say 90%. It's my Carpathian series that is more fantasy romance, and all the rest of them would be considered romantic suspense or romantic thrillers. They're just not marketed that way.
Right, that's true, yeah. Now, how many books will be in the Shadow series? Will you be cutting out some of the older series to make room for this new series? How is that going to work?
I don't plan to cut out any of the other series. I just simply plan to add this one into the lineup. I write one book from each series a year, and I hope to do the same with this one as well. So the Carpathians I'll still write, the Ghost Walkers I'll still write, the Sea Haven novels I'll still write, and, of course, the Leopards.
The Leopards.
Yes.
Yeah, I love the Leopards. Now, what's been the feedback from your readers about this new series?
You know, I've gotten tons and tons of mail, which is great. You know, I get hundreds of letters a week, and this one has all been positive. Occasionally I get one letter out of maybe 800 that says they didn't like the sex in it. That's usually the hot topic. But in this one, I had none of that. Everybody seemed across the board to really like it, so I'm very grateful for that because I love this family and I love the premise. I hope to write this for a long time.
Well, I'm a big fan of Shadow Rider. You were talking about, you know, the sex in it, and of course, all of your books have always had some level of sex in it. The couple in this book, though, the romance between them, I think, has just kind of, I don't want to say overshadowed everything else, but it is very seriously character-driven, this book. It feels to me like, you know, Stefano, like he was very clear in your mind. Did you feel like, I mean, does this book kind of percolate for a while? Did Stefano just really kind of tap you on the shoulder and speak pretty loudly to you as this book developed?
Oh, he was talking to me 3 years ago, demanding the story, and he just kept getting louder and louder and louder, and I had to, you know, I kept trying to put him off while I was trying to figure out the world and, you know, create the steps that the family would go through in order to be able to be a Shadow Rider. And, you know, I tried to tell him that the details really did matter. He's kind of pushy. And so by the time I actually sat down to write the story, it was right there.
Now, next up is Dark Carousel. And I know a lot of people are going to be interested in hearing about that. It's part of your Dark series, your Carpathians, and this puts us, we're in the United States with this book, and I know you're introducing some new elements to the series. I have read it, which is kind of a benefit for me. I know that we can't talk specifically about what's new, since that would be a bit of a spoiler, and I wouldn't want to spoil it for anyone, but can you tell us a little bit about the book? You know, most people don't consider a carousel horse to be very scary, so there must be something special about this one. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I wrote a short story called Dark Crime that was in a novella, and I wrote in the story, I started here in the United States, and this Dark Carousel kind of is a continuation of that, where I introduced us back into the U.S. And in this particular story, the woman, the heroine, can touch an object and see all the way through its past down to the creator of the object. And so she gets flashes of scenes. This particular carousel horse is cursed, and she restores carousel horses. And, of course, nobody really believes in curses. But everyone who's either owned this horse or, you know, sat on it too long or been around it too much has ultimately died. Either they died from an illness that no doctor could figure out what was wrong, or they died brutally murdered. So she has a bit of a mystery trying to figure out what happened with this carousel horse.
So she sees kind of flashes of its history and realizes there is something definitely, you know, peculiar, strange about it. Now, does she see him? Is that how he's tied into it? He owns this carousel horse now,
He owns
correct?
The carousel horse, and he hires her to restore it for him.
Not realizing,
that she will be able to eventually figure out who, in fact, carved that carousel horse and how it became cursed.
I love that, because that's a bit of a mystery. Now, are you able to tell us a little bit about the two main characters in Dark Carousel? I mean, we just learned about her and what her kind of special ability is. Can you tell us about him?
He has been, Tariq Azengard has been in other books, and he was very, very strong. He's much more civilized than most Carpathians, because he always was drawn to humans. So he has lived with humans for a lot of years, hundreds and hundreds of years, and is very comfortable in the world of humans, where a lot of the other Carpathians are not.
Right. So he's definitely a very different character. So you have a pretty amazing lineup coming. So we have Dark Carousel is coming out in August, and then we're going to get another Leopard book with Leopard's Fury. Can you tell us a little bit about the Leopard story?
I fell madly in love with this couple. She was just briefly in another book, and it wasn't that you met her so much as people talked about her. She grew up in the swamp. Her family sort of abandoned her there, and her grandfather was a horrible, hideous man. So she wanted out of that. She's very self-sufficient because she did live by herself and had to survive pretty much on her own. And she left the swamp and moved to San Antonio, Texas, where she bought a little bakery or started a little bakery. And so she is very determined to live her life on her own, with her own rules. And she doesn't want anything whatsoever to do with the leopards. And in walks a man who she knows, she can see, not necessarily that he's a leopard, but that he is a very dangerous man. And he associates with what appears to be criminals. But she's extremely drawn to him. And over the course of almost a year, he comes in 3 and 4 times a week. So they develop a relationship before they're ever together, which is very different usually with the leopards. And
right.
It makes the book extremely sexy, because they're not together, but you kind of want them to be. And it's just
right.
they had a really interesting and very good relationship. I really enjoyed the book a lot.
You know, I've read Leopard's Fury, and I don't want to give too much away, but we will have some kind of new and exciting things happening with this book that you've not done before. I'm very interested to find out what people think about that. But I think what struck me when I was reading it is how completely romantic this couple is. And I don't think I've shared this with you, but this has definitely become a comfort read for me. I've read this 3 times now. So this may be, it's definitely my favorite of the Leopards, and I love the whole series, but it may be one of my favorite books that you've ever written. It's so romantic, and the couple, it's, you know, with her, she was a surprise to me in that she's, you know, she's younger, but she's kind of got an old soul. So the way that I thought she was going to be with him turned out to be very different. There's so much that I did not expect that you did with this couple. And I just wonder, you know, do you have a sense when you're putting the male and the female together, do they kind of dictate how their relationship's going to go, or do you kind of map out the way a particular relationship will be?
No, I don't do any mapping out. The characters absolutely dictate the story at all times. I'm always surprised at how perfect a couple ends up being for each other, where one person could never live with a man who was like so totally dominating, like in Cat's Lair. You know, one woman wouldn't be able to live with that, but she was able to do it. And I don't plan that out, because as the book is being written and more of that, the characters come out, you know, the traits that they have, then they tend to match each other. Whatever the female needs, that man has to be able to step up and do, or he's really not the right person for her, and vice versa. There's no point in fighting all the time. I mean, that's not going to make a real relationship. If there's something about that character that irritates me, clearly I'm not going to be able to live with him. But the person that he's with has to be okay with that, that irritating trait that I would find.
Right. Part of what I loved about him was, you know, he has such a dark past, such a violent past, and he knows he's a violent man, and he tries so hard not to involve her. Like he doesn't feel like he does this, and this is just my feeling. You know, everybody reads a book and they come away with it, you know, with how they feel things went. I just felt like he really fought that urge to claim her in a way that, like you said, you want them to get together. They have, you know, they see each other for a year, and you're dying for them to be together. But he is so careful with her, and I thought it was a very different male leopard than what I'm used to with a lot of the leopard books. And he just became, I thought he was going to be, he is intense, no question, he's intense. But he just became this hugely romantic figure to me throughout, because of how he felt like he kind of felt like he didn't deserve her in a way. Did you plan for that to happen? Was that like something that you knew he was going to be? Or at what point did you realize that he felt that way about her?
Well, he totally surprised me. And that's what I love about writing. To me, when I open a book, I want to go on that adventure with the writer. And it's the same when I pick up, well, I used to pick up a pen, that dates me, but when I open my laptop and I start writing a story on a blank page, I want to go wherever that adventure is going to take me. And he was very violent. He had a very dark, horrible past. And you knew him from another book. So you kind of already guessed, if you follow the Leopard books, that he was going to be very dangerous. And so I expected him to kind of be that way, to come across as being this really scary guy who wanted everything his way. And I was totally surprised by him, the way he was with her.
This is by far one of the most romantic paranormal romance novels that I've read. Not just yours, but you know, I'm kind of like you. I know you read all the time, and so do I. But this definitely is in my top 10. You know, I love a lot of the single books that you've read. Lair of the Lion comes to mind. I absolutely love that book. That's in my top 10. I mean, that's up there. And I love like Jane Eyre, and I love, you know, there's like a lot of different books that I like. It's not just the romance genre that I read, but this is definitely up there with that. I think this is such a romantic book. But you have now, there's some other exciting things that are coming together. I know a lot of people, you know, everybody has their favorite series. So let's talk about the Ghost Walker book that's coming up, because I believe that's coming in early 2017. Power Game, correct? That's
yes.
Coming up in.
Yes, it
yeah.
is. And I'm very, very excited about that book. It is coming out in hardcover. And that is huge for me. I'm very excited. We had so many people who wanted those books in hardcover, and it was very nice to finally have them say, we're going to do it. It's a very special book. The heroine is very strong in this book, very different. And my hero, who is Ezekiel Fortunes, is an amazing hero. There's a tremendous amount of action in the book. It definitely shows her on a mission by herself, and it shows the Ghost Walker team on a mission. It shows training for a mission. My wonderful Nani is in there, and she's a character that I just love so much, and she is very prevalent in the book. So I really feel like this is a very special book, and I'm really proud of it.
This definitely is very action-packed, this book. I was just amazed. This is the one that you, when you're done, you don't want it to be over, but damn, you're tired. Now, I think we have like 3 minutes left. And even though the live version of the show will be over at that three-minute mark, we can still talk and people can come and listen to the recording and hear anything that we say. So if we get cut off, don't worry. You'll still be able to listen to the rest of the show. And I'll have that up within, about half an hour when we're done. So I don't want to I do want to talk just for a few minutes about Bound Together. That is the end of the Sisters of the Heart and kind of the beginning of your next Sea Haven series. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's Victor's book, Victor and Blythe, and I'm very excited to finally be able to write it. I had planned for it clear back in the last of the Drake sisters, Hidden Currents, and this brings the entire Drake sister bound books full circle. So everything that happened to L. Drake and Jackson, this book is the results of that. So Victor is coming to Sea Haven, and he is bringing some people with him. The idea is to get Jackson's greatest enemy out into the open.
So does that mean we're going to see some Drakes?
Oh, yeah. The Drakes will be there, for sure. Well, at least
that's
L. Drake
exciting.
Will. Yeah.
And any idea what else might be coming out in 2017?
Well, of course, there'll be another. There'll be one of each of the series. So there'll be a game book, which is Power Game. They'll be bound together. And then there'll be a Shadow Rider book. Shadow Reaper, and then there'll be a dark book, Emmeline's book. So I'm very excited to be able to write that one, and then another
book.
So, and then hopefully I will have started the new Sea Haven series.
Yes, and I know everybody's excited about that. So real quick, because I know we don't have a lot of time, but I did want to ask you this. For aspiring authors, if you could just give three pieces of advice, what would be your advice to the aspiring writers out there?
The big thing is sit down in a chair. You got to sit down and you have to write. It's one thing to just go around and daydream and have the stories in your head, but you have to actually put them down. Sit down and write. Give yourself a time when you're going to do it and make yourself do it, if you can, every day. The more you do it, the easier it's going to be. So that's number one. Number two, I think it's important to understand that writing is a business as well, and you have to understand how the business works. It's important to kind of get some information on that. And most writers will help you. They don't have a lot of time, but they're willing to answer a question or two. So write and ask a question. It's okay to do that. Third, if you sell a story and you have a deadline, treat it like a business and meet your deadline. Those people are counting on you.
Now, one question that did come up, and I'm going to go ahead and address it here since I've got you. And I'm sure you've seen this online, you write so many books every year. Are you writing all of those yourself, or are these co-written with anyone else?
No, I write them myself. I've heard this come up. Mostly they link it with my son, Brian, probably because I thank him all the time. But first of all, Brian would die before he would write one of my sex scenes. I'm pretty sure he closes the door on anything he writes. But he definitely would never write a sex scene. I write all my books myself. What my son does is sometimes he brainstorms with me, but other writers do as well. We have groups that do that. Mostly I'm very visual, and so if I need an island, I'm going to do a mission on an island, then he draws out the island for me, and we put stick figures, because neither one of us are great artists, and we count up all the people, so I don't leave anybody alive that needs to be dead. And I have to know where all the entry points are on the island. So whenever I'm planning an assault, he helps me plan it visually on paper. And if I have to work through an actual fight scene that's physical, we sometimes act it out together. So that's very helpful to me because I can visualize it in my head. So that's what he does.
Right.
But as far as writing, no. Nobody else could write a book. I don't think I'm capable of writing a book with another person. The book is it flows too much. I don't plot things out, so nobody else could actually step in and do that. My son and I have talked about doing it together. He's more capable, I think, than I am because I like everything my own way.
Right. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I know you're writing. I think currently you're writing Bound Together, right?
I am.
Yeah, that's exciting. And we would not want to keep you from that. I know. So thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Readers Entertainment.
Well, I'm glad to be asked to visit with you, and I'm very sorry about my dogs.
Oh, that's okay. Our listeners are used to it because it happens with my dogs all the time, so that was not a shock to anybody. And then I just want to make sure everyone knows Dark Carousel will be out on August the 2nd. Leopard's Fury is out November the 8th. And then we have Power Game and Bound Together are going to be out in 2017. For those of you who love social media, Christine is on Twitter at Author C. Feehan and on Facebook at Christine Feehan Author. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next Thursday.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.